Welcome to the Midday. I'm Stephanie Elkins in for Norman Gilliland today. And I am not alone in the studio. Here with me are Cheryl Bensman-Rowe, the co-artistic director of the Madison Early Music Festival, and Joan Kimball and Bob Wimkin, who are founding members and performers and scholars of early music and fun performers, members of PFRO. Welcome very much. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Delighted to be here.
And you've brought some pretty interesting looking instruments with you. Now, first of all, you're in town because this week is the Madison Early Music Festival, and you have been in residence, basically, as performers for many years now.
We've been very delighted and lucky to be a part of this since, I think, the third iteration of the festival. And it's been a wonderful environment in which to promote our own kind of instrumentation, the wind instruments of the Renaissance and early Baroque. And we just had a great opportunity, and the festival has been growing and drawing people. We have people from the West Coast now, from the East Coast. It's just really quite a wonderful experience.
It has been growing in reputation. It's just been great to see. And I still remember the first time I saw you in concert, and Joan, you were blowing up your little bagpipe, and I thought, And then she marched in, and the sound was unbelievable, and the tuning was fantastic, and it was so dynamic. It was just, it made the goosebumps go up on my arm. It's just a wonderful performance. So this year, the music festival is focusing on Slavic discoveries. So, Cheryl, how did that come about?
Well, two ways. We were at a board meeting, and John Barker had read something about a Polish music festival that had happened in New York City. And he said, when are we going to get on board? And then also Tom Zajac, who has been a member of the faculty and a member of PFRO for many years, had done a lot of research in Polish music and other Slavic music, Ukrainian and Russian church music. And so I started talking to him about it. And then we just thought this would be a very interesting topic to cover because we never have broached this before. And not only the Slavic countries, but Eastern European countries.
And there's a lot of really interesting music, isn't there?
Yes. Oh, yes.
That has not been explored too much.
Not too much. And, you know, a lot of the difficulties where the music was sitting in libraries before a lot of Westerners could get access to this music, and now things are opening up, and so people are able to go over and do research. Yes, still in the library, not just on the internet. So we've been able to offer some very, very interesting programs this week.
Well, why don't we get a taste of some music? Let's listen to something recorded first, and then we'll hear some of these instruments that you've brought. What are we going to hear first, Bob?
Well, we're going to hear a piece by a composer, Heinrich Finck. He was German, but he spent a good deal of his career in an Eastern court. And this seems to have been quite characteristic, especially in the 16th century. The Eastern potentates were very keen on shaping their courts according to Western fashion. And consequently, they brought composers over and made them the head of the music establishments. And consequently, there's this blending of East and West that goes on in the 16th century, especially early 17th century. Finck was an early 16th century composer. This is a fun piece called Greiner Zanner.
And what instruments are we going to hear on this?
We're going to hear a combination, what is called the loud band in the Renaissance. It's a combination of reeds and brass. The reeds are predecessors of the modern oboe and bassoon, and the brass are trombones, which are sometimes in English and French societies called the sackbut.
All right, here's PFRO.
Thank you.
a little piece by Heinrich Finck called Greiner Zahner from Stadtpfeifer. That just means, what does that mean?
It simply means wind player. It's a city wind player with the Stadtpfeifer.
And that's a CD of music from the Renaissance by P. Ferro, one of your many, many recordings. You guys have been quite prolific over the years.
I think last count it was 16.
Wow.
We started our first one. Actually, we don't count our first one, which was on a cassette tape done in a studio that never had done an early music before. And they put so much reverb on it that we cringed when we first heard it. And we had to take it to one of our, somebody that we knew who was a recording specialist who had to do a little bit of work on it. That one sort of stays in the archives and doesn't come out. But starting in the early 90s, we've made quite a number then, and a little harder to make them these days because of the way the economy works and because of the way the whole industry works. But we still have them coming out.
Well, you combine a lot of scholarship with your music, and that's part of the reason that you're here in Wisconsin this week is to teach as well, and people come from all over the place to learn. So what kinds of workshops are you giving under the auspices of Slavic discoveries this week?
Well, P. Ferro has taken the tact, I think, as I mentioned, that what was going on, at least in the courts and cathedrals of Krakow and various other cities in Poland and Hungary, was highly influenced by Western composers. And consequently, there's the repertoire not only transported into the East, but also the effects of the Eastern traditional music on composed music by Westerners. So there's this wonderful little meshing of styles, and so we're heading in that direction. We're working in our performance on Tuesday evening as well as in our classes on identifying some of the influences, some of the colors that the East has brought to the West and vice versa. And I have a loud band intensive working with the shawm and sackbut and dulcian players in this direction, particularly focusing on one composer, a fellow by the name of Jakob Handel, who loved Latin quite a bit and loved to be called Jacobus Gallus rather than Handel, right?
Okay.
Which means rooster, the little rooster. But he is a monster of a composer. In fact, he really competes side by side with the great Orlando di Lasso. We're finding just some amazing music that we had not approached before because he is a Slovenian composer and has not been in the forefront like Lasso and Palestrina and Victoria and all of these other names that your listeners probably have heard.
Right, and whose music is in the great cathedrals and basilicas and libraries.
That's right, great. Yeah.
Well, why don't we have a little bit of a taste of some of these instruments that you've brought with you? So, Joan, looks like you did bring in that bagpipe that I was mentioning.
Yes, I did. I will demonstrate a little bit of a tune that you will hear on the program. It's a Polish tune. We found a collection of monophonic tunes from Poland from the 16th century, and I delved into them and found about three or four that seemed to fit nicely on the pipes and made some arrangements. And I'll just play the simple tune, but you will hear in the concert, you will hear another bagpipe joining me and a couple of recorders and a guitar and some percussion to end with the first half with a good rousing bang.
Nice.
So while I get over there and get the pipes, you can say something else.
I did want to say that their concert is at 7:30 on Tuesday, which is tomorrow, in Mills Concert Hall. And there's a pre-concert lecture by Mike Olson, or J. Michael Olson, who is also a trombone player in the Madison Symphony. And that is at 6:30 in the Humanities Building. And the title of the lecture is Go East, Young Man.
That's quite clever.
I tell the title.
Well, and Michael Olson is also a sackbut player. Mm-hmm. He's playing in the loud band intensive.
Oh.
So, yeah.
So you're slowly converting all of these instrumentalists
in
the area.
Oh, yes. And what is the title of the PFRO program?
The Slavic Connection, East Meets West and West Meets East.
And near the train shall meet. All right, Joan, are you ready? Almost ready? Okay, so we're going to hear this little Polish tune played on an early bagpipe. Was a quickie. Sometimes if we have bagpipes or accordions or things like that, we have to put them out in the hallway. But that's that's kind of a nice mellow sound.
It is. And most people associate bagpipes, of course, with the Highland pipes. And everybody would much prefer to hear those in an outdoor environment and from a distance. Maybe like there on a hill and you're down below.
Right, right.
But there are so many different kinds of bagpipes that we know about from the iconography in the 14th, 15th, and 16th centuries. Of course, none of these instruments survive. The bags long ago rotted because they were made out of leather and probably the wood pieces dispersed and so were not ever connected with anything that would have been a real instrument from that time. But the iconography, in combination with the iconography and then the many, many traditional pipes that are played today in Europe, throughout Europe, in France, in Germany, in England, in Italy, in Spain,
in
Greece,
countries.
In the Balkan countries.
Hungary, also, yeah, everywhere.
There's
yeah.
all sorts of pipes. And so we get a pretty good idea of what they might have been. Of course, the best illustrations are the Bruegel paintings. And a number of our pipes, the ones that I played, we call our Flemish pipes. And you know that the great picture of the wedding party where you have the bagpipers off to the side. So that's sort of what we do. And actually, I have, those are sort of our medium pipes. I have one little set of pipes that are called Hummelchen, which means little bumblebee.
And they're
very sweet, and they can be played nicely with recorders. They make nice combinations with quiet recorders.
Huh.
So you can see the variety is quite astounding
yeah.
of the kinds of instruments. Yeah.
And we've been known to play bagpipes at weddings even today.
You could recreate the painting, perhaps. Well, you brought an instrument too, Bob, didn't you? It has the look of a very large recorder, but it's not.
Right. What I have is an example of the early double reed instrument. The double reeds the double reed concept is very ancient, probably back to ancient Egypt, and consequently the double reeds have a long lineage, and by the time we get to the 15th and 16th century, they're already mature instruments, yet to continue to grow into the modern era. So my instrument it's called a dulcian, which in Latin was sweet-sounding instrument, and it, although the English just call it the kirtle, the short instrument, even though it's fairly large, it's the predecessor of the modern bassoon. And one feature of all of the wind instruments in the Renaissance was the fact that they were consort instruments. They played in groups, and consequently the tonal quality encouraged this kind of blending and combination of sound. Rather, as the woodwinds grew into orchestral instruments, they became solo instruments. And so that's the big distinction between modern bassoon and my dulcian or fagotto, as it's sometimes referred to.
Mm-hmm. So dulcian, D-U-L-C-I-A-N.
Or Z-I-A-N in German, dulcian.
And you can hear that. What a lovely name for an instrument.
I think so,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Well, let's hear the sweet, dulcet tones. And what are you going to play, Bob?
That's a good question.
All right. Well, we'll take whatever it is. Mm-hmm.
Section of an English song.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, I have had the advantage of seeing you two perform many times, so I know that the dulcian and the bagpipes are not the only instruments that you play. And listeners or audience members that come to the concert tomorrow night will see a whole array of instruments. And are you trading off as you do often?
Absolutely. And that's part of the characteristic of the wind band players of that time, and then we carry it into our playing as well, that they were multi-instrumentalists. So in one set, I'll be playing a soprano, alto chant, which I'll maybe demonstrate in a minute. Next set, I might be playing a great big bass recorder, the next set, a bagpipe. So there's a good deal of choreography on stage when we perform, in terms of people switching stands and switching instruments, and sometimes handing one instrument, you play it in one set and I play it in the next. And so that's really part of the characteristic of our playing, is that kind of multi-instrumental tasking.
Yeah, and I guess a little bit of insurance too, in case somebody needs to drop out or get sick or something like that.
True, yes. We have some flexibility there.
Right. Why don't we hear one more from this recording? And you picked out one other selection for us, Bob.
Okay. one of the things that I think is really fun about this Slavic connection is these tunes that we're coming up with, the Slavic tunes with slightly different tonalities, perhaps. And we have a set of German tunes here that lie kind of on the border between Germany and the East in their flavor. And this brings together a number of bagpipes and percussion and guitar and in a suite. The first one is a very famous tune, the Hildebrandslied, very famous for those who listen to early music, I should say. although there is a 19th century composer who used that tune, whose name escapes me right now. But anyway, the Hildebrandslied, some of you may actually recognize that. That's followed by Es taget vor dem Walde. And finally, Zart lieb, wie süß dein Anfang ist.
Thank you.
Piffero with some music from their CD, Stadtpfeifer. And they're going to be performing in Madison at the UW-Madison as part of the Madison Early Music Festival. If you're within striking distance, that is Tuesday evening as part of a whole week of events. We're in the middle of it right now. And the co-artistic director, Cheryl Benzman Rowe, is here. And what else is going on this week, Cheryl?
So much. After the Piffero concert on Tuesday, Wednesday, we have a dance event of Balkan dancing led
Fun.
By Michael Kuharski and Veselika, the Balkan band, live music at the Great Hall at 7 in Memorial Union.
And that's open to the public?
That's open to the public. Thursday is the Handel Aria competition. This is the third year of the competition. There will be a pre-concert lecture by John Barker at 6:30, and 7:30 is the competition. Friday, Ensemble Peregrina, music from Polish Clarissan cloisters. So they have these surviving copies of this Magnus Lieber from the 1200s.
Wow.
And they're a fantastic group from Europe. There's also a pre-concert lecture by Tom Dale about the architecture in these convents. Saturday, we have the Advanced Loud Band Intensive and Baroque Opera Workshop are giving their own concert at 2 p.m. in Mills Concert Hall. And we end the week with Slavic Discoveries, a beautiful program designed by Tom Zajac, music from Eastern Europe. And that there is also a pre-concert lecture at 6:30 by David McDonald on Imperial Russia, and then the concert at 7:30 in Mills Concert Hall. And you can find out anything you need to know at our website, madisonearlymusic.org.
One thing I love about that last concert is it's the participants and students and the faculty and the performers, everybody of all different calibers and abilities coming together to make this great music. And it's always such a great performance. Well, it's going to be a fun week. Thank you very much, Bob.
Thank
and
you.
Joan
Thank you,
and Cheryl for coming. I really appreciate it.